Greetings. It's good to be with you again. It's always a pleasure to be with you. I don't know why. But it is. Because I'm with myself. The self is all there is. So when you're with people of like mind, you're really with yourself. It's really interesting how many people want to be enlightened, to be self-realized. And yet when you look into their lives, they put everything else first. By putting everything else first, I mean they worry about their jobs or about their families or about the world situation. They concern themselves about their happiness, about the future, about the past. How can you possibly wake up when you have all these things in your mind? And another thing that's funny to me is all the holidays we take. For instance, someone called me the other day and asked me, how much longer will it be before I awaken? And by the way, I'm going to Acapulco for Memorial Day. Well, this is an enigma to me. I recall when I was about 13, 14, 15 years old, I wanted this so much that I used to have to sneak out of the house to go listen to Joel Goldstein speak back in New York. And in the winter time, I had to take a train and a bus and a train again. It took me about 2.5 hours to get downtown. But something in me was driving me towards spiritual people. What I'm getting at is this. Whatever you put first in your life, that's what you ultimately become. If you think your work is number one, because that's what supports you, you're looking at this thing the wrong way. What supports you is the self. Work is only one of the channels of the self. If you know the self, you will always be taken care of. Because the self is self-contained harmony and bliss. Therefore, I should think your first obligation should be towards finding the self. Or finding out who you really are. What about vacations? Holidays? Wherever you go, you've got to take yourself with you. If you're a miserable person, you're going to take your misery wherever you go. The first day or so may seem as if you're taking a break from your everyday experiences. But soon you'll find fault with the hotel you're staying in, with the restaurant, with the food, with everybody. Because that's what you do when you're here. It seems to me that if a person really wants to awaken, they will put the teaching first. Now, it makes no difference to me. I'm not saying this because I want to see you here all the time. As you know, you've got the freedom to do what you like. I'd be the last one to tell you where to go and what to do. Sometimes I like to tell certain people where to go. But you're free to do what you like. You have to come to the conclusion of what I'm talking about by yourself. Something within you has to be so strong that you've always got spiritual life on your mind. Why do you have to go anywhere? You are the universe. There's no place for you to go. After all, you remember that the whole universe is an emanation of your own mind. You are creating the universe. Where do you have to go? If you're looking for happiness and peace, it's right within you. If you're looking for a change of environment, it's right within you. Whatever you need is within you. There's nowhere you have to go for anything. You have to ask yourself, how badly do I wish to awaken? And this will determine what to do. When some of us are experiencing good karma, so to speak, and we have the pleasures of life in this world, sometimes we go further away from the spiritual life because we assume we're happy since we have the so-called good things of life. We have forgotten that everything is subject to change. Your fortune can end tomorrow. And even if it doesn't, you still become earthbound. So the next time around, you'll probably be a homeless person. The universe is a cosmic joke. It plays games with you. It wants you to become attached to things. Your mind appears to be very strong. It will tell you all sorts of things to keep you attached. There are very few people who break out of it. And the Bhagavad Gita tells you, out of 1,000 people, one searches for God. Out of 1,000 that search, one finds Him. They're referring to the self. You cannot possibly find yourself when you are engrossed in the world. I'm not advocating you become a hermit or a recluse. I'm simply saying, first things first. Focus your attention on the self. Your body will take care of itself. Something will take care of your so-called body. It will not starve. This something can take care of your body better than you can ever hope to. So you don't have to keep thinking about your affairs and your body and the world most of the time. You must begin to understand that you are the only one who can dissolve the Maya and awaken to the truth of your being. You can tell where you're at by what you do all day long. Just think about today. Since you woke up this morning, how often did you think about your higher self? How often did you practice self-inquiry? How often did you surrender completely? Not so much. You identified yourself with the worldly situation. You identified with Maya, with things, with persons, with places. And then you tell me, I want to awaken. I want to become self-realized. Of course, the truth is you already self-realized. You know that. But those are just words. What are you doing to prove it? When you worry, you're moving away from self-realization. Even though you may believe you've got something to worry about, it it may appear very important to you. But from a higher standpoint, there's absolutely nothing to worry about. Absolutely nothing to worry about. No matter how it may appear to you, at least realize that it's an appearance, and that's how you see it from your viewpoint. Rise above it by asking, to whom does it come? Who's experiencing this? When you have fear, fear of any kind, you're pushing yourself away from liberation. What can you possibly fear? Consciousness is all there is. Consciousness is bliss. There's nothing else. The mind has invented the rest and causes you to fear. Hate, revenge, all these traits. And even the good things. They're two sides of the same coin. I want to remind you that you're not trying to change bad humanhood into good humanhood. What you're trying to do is to transcend both. Everything will be all right if you stick to your sadhana. If you take time out to practice self-inquiry or surrender or just to sit in the silence, you can do these things while you're working. You really do not have to meditate formally. So look at yourself. And see what you've gone through just for today. Doubts, suspicions, apprehensions mixed with feelings of ecstasy, perhaps some joy here and there, some happiness here and there. You know that the average person is happy when things go their way, when the world is turning the way it wants it to. But that doesn't last long. Soon something comes along and things are no longer going their way. They become upset, confused, disillusioned. Self-realization has absolutely nothing to do with the world. In other words, it doesn't matter what you're going through. whether your experience is sick or healthy, rich or poor, happy or sad, whatever. It has nothing to do with self-realization. Your reaction to those things either cause you to come closer to it or move you away from it. By your reaction to every experience. You have to handle every experience just the same. Say you won the state lottery and you have $60 million. How many of you would say, to whom does this come? You only say when there's something wrong, right? But if something goes your way, you forget all about it. And you'll be in the next plane to Acapulco. Funny, but true. How many of you would come back to Sunday's celebration if you won $60 million in the state lottery? Do you see how strong Maya is? It plays games with you. It makes you believe you need spiritual life when things are going wrong. To be born is a curse. And all the experiences you're going through are because you were born. Isn't it better to do what you have to do to awaken and get it over with? Instead of playing the game of karma and reincarnation and this and that, awaken. Start to understand that I am not the body-mind phenomenon. I am not the doer. What comes to me is only an appearance of karma. But I am not that. Whether it's good or bad makes no difference. Who experiences karma? Who experiences human happiness and unhappiness? Who goes through these things? I do. The I is the answer, of course. You have a personal identification with I. And as long as you believe I exist as the body, I exist as the mind, you will suffer accordingly. Through all the experiences you go through. Some will be good, some will be bad. And you will have the yo-yo syndrome. one day you'll have something good happen to you, next day something bad, something good will take place all week, then something bad will take place for 2 weeks, something good will take place for 3 weeks. You'll go up and down like a yo-yo. Wanting to extend your good experiences and eliminate the bad experiences. Psychology will not help you. Psychiatry will not help you. Getting stoned out of your head will not help you. Liquor will not help you. Due to the fact that you've got to awaken from these experiences, all these psychological experiences end. And then you're back with yourself. The only thing that will help is to find out from where the I comes from. Where does that first pronoun come from? I. It must come from myself when you start to think about it. For it doesn't come from outside of me. Due to the fact that every time I say I, I'm referring to myself. But what self am I referring to? When I say I am happy, I am sad, I am hungry, I am full. Where does that I come from? Who gave it birth? What is its source? This procedure is called abiding in the I. You are tracing the I to its source by inquiring of yourself, where did it come from? If you like, who am I? This is abiding in the I. You will soon discover that the I comes to life every morning as you awaken. The I comes to life. And it becomes stronger as you go through the day. But if you abide in it, trace it and follow it, you will realize that it really has no source. The eye is like the water in a mirage. It appears to exist, but it's a non-entity. You must discover this for yourself. It will be the greatest discovery you've ever made. By discovering this, you will have unbounded peace, unalloyed happiness, joy. just by discovering the I has no source. It never existed. You were never born. And you can never go anywhere when you die, where there's nowhere to go. You are that which has always been and which will always be. Satchitananda. You are the ultimate Brahman. Pure awareness. That is your true nature. That is you. Not the I. I'm speaking of the personal I. There is no I. But you have to find this out for yourself. This is why in the practice it is said to follow the I through the source, which is the spiritual heart on the right side of your chest. When the I goes back into the spiritual heart, it's the same as discovering that the water in the desert is a mirage. This awakens you. When you awaken, everything is dissolved. There is no longer a mind, so to speak. There is no longer a you or a me. There is no longer a universe or a world. There is no longer a question of liberation. There is no longer a question. For there is no one left to ask a question. There is no one left to have an experience. There is no one left to see the world. There's no one left to have a problem. You become an embodiment of total joy. You actually do not become an embodiment of total joy because you never existed. Total joy just is. It isn't this and it isn't that. It just is. So you see, there is really nothing you have to do. There's nothing you need. There's no place you have to go. There's no special book you have to read. There's no special teacher you have to see. This is between you and yourself. The more you become enthused about the world and its conditions, the more bound you become. Let go of everything. If it's difficult for you to practice self-inquiry, surrender everything to your infinite self. In other words, let go of the responsibility. Give the responsibility to God, who is none other than your own consciousness. Do not think you're so important that you have to overcome a problem. That's all you're doing when you think you've got a problem to overcome. It makes you feel important. I've got to solve this problem. I've got to overcome this situation. As if I is somebody important. I didn't exist. If I doesn't exist, neither does your problem. You know by now the problem exists because you believe in your I. When you realize I does not exist, everything disappears. This is what I mean when I tell you sometimes there are no problems, there never were any problems, and there never will be any problems. But as soon as you begin to think, there are problems. Even while you're sitting here listening to me, if you allow your mind to think, doesn't a problem come up in your life that you're thinking about, that you think is so important at the present time? But if you were spontaneous and lived in the eternal present, the eternal now, forget about the past, don't worry about the future, but live in this particular second. In this second, there are no problems. If you can only stay in that split second, no one is hungry, no one is ill, no one is in need, no one is suffering. As you begin to stay in that split second, the split second expands into a minute, into 2 minutes, into 10 minutes. And as you abide in it, it turns into eternity. You are always in that split second where nothing is happening. Where nothing is taking place. That split second is bliss. Pure intelligence. absolute reality. And you are that. So again, it begins when you get up in the morning. You observe the eye. You watch yourself thinking, I got up, I just woke up. But now here's the catch. Do not allow the eye to go any further. As soon as you watch yourself saying, I just woke up, try to catch yourself and ask yourself the question, who is the eye that just woke up? For in that split second prior to awakening, you were in bliss. No thoughts. But as soon as you begin to think of the I, the world comes into play. In that split second before I came along, you were awake. Yet there was no world, there were no people, there was no universe, there were no problems in that split second. But as soon as you began to think of I, your troubles began. Because you're thinking about the day. I'm hungry, I have to take a shower, I have to get dressed. And I begins to do its mischief. That's why it's very important to observe the eye coming out. If you can really observe it, you will see that the eye is coming out of your spiritual heart on the right side of your chest. But a funny thing will happen. As you observe it, it will go back. Isn't that interesting? As you observe the eye, or as you question it, where did the eye come from? It will stop. It will stop its procedure. It will stop its journey through the brain where you become body conscious. All these things happen in a split second. So you have to be aware. You have to be alert. You have to watch for it. I admit it takes some effort in the beginning, but it's well worth it. Think about this again. Just before you awaken to the eye, you are already awake in that split second. In that split second, there is no world, but you're awake, you're conscious. You're totally happy. You're totally self-realized. In that split second. But then the eye begins its journey from the heart to the brain. Now if you can observe the eye and question its authority, it will lose its momentum and slow down and begin to return to the heart. If you can get it to return to the heart, you will be conscious, but you will be liberated. You will go about your business like you always do. You will take your shower. You will eat your breakfast. It will all happen spontaneously. There will be no thoughts. The only experience you will have will be total bliss, total happiness, total joy. And yet your body will go about its business. It can happen all at once, or it can take time. But it's worth the effort, isn't it? Even if it takes you a lifetime, at least you will be free at that time. What's more important than this? Can anything be more important than this? This guarantees that you do not return to this earth. It guarantees that while you're alive in your body, so to speak, you will be a jiva mukta, self-realized in the body. This is your only salvation. But you've got to do it. These teachings used to be handed out by the rishis from mouth to mouth. To explain it, it is most difficult to comprehend the books, even though some of them are very clear. Something within you that knows what to do to make it happen. But if you try to understand with your brain, with your head, you will forget. And when tomorrow morning comes, you will get up and your eye will take over immediately. You will say, I'm late for work, I am in a hurry, I'm this and I'm that. And you will forget everything we're talking about this evening. But if you're listening with your heart, when tomorrow morning comes, you will spontaneously be able to catch yourself. I will repeat again how to do this. When you first open your eyes, in that split second, you are conscious. The eye has not arisen yet. But remember, it's all happening in a second. So you've got to be aware, you've got to be awake, intelligent. Watch. And you will notice that the eye begins very faintly and becomes stronger. You can shout out, who are you? That's the same as saying, who am I? You can say, who gave you permission to awaken? And observe, watch. The eye will begin to lose momentum. The eye will become weaker and weaker. The way it usually happens with people, with most people, if they were able to, they're able to catch it for maybe a few seconds, and then the eye will take over completely. Do not be disappointed. That's the worst thing you can do. It has taken most people years, centuries perhaps, to go all the way. Be happy with what you've got. But as you begin to do this practice diligently, every day, that split second where you observe the eye will expand into a full second, into 2 seconds, into 3 seconds. In other words, for those 3 seconds, you will be self-realized to an extent. You will be conscious, period. You will not be conscious of this or of that. You will be conscious. And you will feel something you've never felt before, a joy. You will know you're on the right track. Then when the eye takes over completely, you can get up and go about your business and ask yourself, who am I? What is the source of the eye? During the day, as the thoughts come to you, be receptive. Be alert. Question, to whom do these thoughts come? They come to me? Who's me? Who am I? What is the source of the I? You practice that all day. The next morning you do the same thing. If you do this, my friends, I can assure you, things will begin to happen to you that you never dreamed possible. May you all experience bliss and your true self. Questions, comments, statements, complaints.
Can you achieve basically the same state as you're falling asleep when you're waking up, which is?
If you catch yourself before you fall asleep,
so you sort of can.
You will watch the eye going back into the heart. When you wake up, the eye comes out. When you go to sleep, the eye subsides. So yes, you can do this. The only problem is you'll fall asleep.
In time to wake up in the morning to try it.
When you wake up in the morning, it will help. Because if you followed it during the night, before you fall asleep, the searching will continue as you awaken. In other words, it will be easier for you. If you're watching a TV movie before you go to sleep, this will be on your mind as you fall asleep. And as you wake up, you will be in a state of stupor, and you will not be able to catch the eye. But if you look for the eye as you fall asleep and you watch it entering your heart, This, by the way, is good for insomnia. We will find you fall asleep much faster as you watch the eyes subsiding into your heart. When you wake up, it will be that much easier to continue watching the eye arise. So yes, it's a very good practice as you go to sleep. Instead of thinking about your boyfriend or your love affair or the food that you just ate or anything else, if you simply observe the eye, the way you do that is you're talking to yourself and you're thinking, I'm tired. Observe, the eye is tired. I'm sleepy. The eye is sleepy. I can't sleep. The eye can't sleep. Just be aware of what the eye is doing. That's all you have to do. And then as you continue to fall asleep, in that split second prior to falling asleep, the eye will disappear into the heart. And again, that split second, you will be self-realized, but then you will be asleep.
Robert, is it your influence that has made all of us so calm that we're ready to go to sleep?
Mm. Whatever.
What did you think of Joel Goldsmith? What do you think of
him? I think he's a great soul. I enjoy him very much. Are you familiar with him?
Yeah. I like his books. I just read you.
Joel Goldsmith was my first teacher I ever had. He's the one who encouraged me to go see Yogananda. And Yogananda sent me to India. Everybody sends me away. I wonder what that means.
Where'd remind my heart, she said.
He sent me into myself.
That's not a way, that's home.
That's right.
That's right. This entity that's watching itself go to sleep, or is telling itself, you make it sound like there's a separation between, you know, watching myself go to sleep, telling myself I'm going to sleep. Isn't it the same I doing all this?
It is the same I, yes. But you have not experienced that situation. So, since you've not experienced the real I, you have to use your mind to catch your mind. The mind is doing all these things. You're using your mind to destroy itself. And that's the procedure you use. Of course, in reality, there's only the self. In reality, everything I said tonight is nonsense, because none of it really exists. There is only consciousness, absolute reality, the self. But those are only words if we've not experienced it. So there has to be a procedure for the Ayani to use to become awakened. And that's the procedure.
And how do you accomplish it during the day when you're just working and living during the day?
You keep asking yourself, to whom do these thoughts come? Every time thoughts come into your mind, whatever you think about, good or bad or indifferent, you keep inquiring, to whom do they come? It makes no difference how many times you have to do this. You simply keep inquiring. And you will notice, as the days go by, the inquiry comes less and less due to the fact the space in between thoughts becomes greater and greater. In other words, you're thinking less and less.
Does that hinder the everyday worker world?
No. On the contrary, it makes the everyday worker world better. For the universal presence takes over and causes your work to be more proficient. When you have to think as an ego about your work, the ego has to learn about your work. And the ego is very limited. But the universal, from whence the work comes from anyway, knows how to take care of itself. And will take better care of your work than you can do as an ego. Have no concern about this. You'll find it's true as you continue the practice.
Robert, have you not also said that in place of self-inquiry, you can simply be the witness?
Yes. Witnessing leads to self-inquiry. If you can just watch yourself, watch the eye at work, watch the eye at play. Watch yourself thinking. Become the witness, the observer. Finally, the time will come when you have to ask the question, who is it that watches? Who is the observer? And that has to go also.
It seems like this watching the eye when you go to sleep, that's kind of a good way to die too, wouldn't it? When you're kind of dying, sort of.
Well, if you haven't practiced prior to dying, when it comes time to die, you'll be in fear. And you won't be able to practice at that time.
You should probably do it beforehand, kind of dry run.
Of course, dry run. Exactly. If you do it enough, you'll realize nobody dies. And that thought will be gone from your mind about dying. But if you wait for the last moment to start practicing, it will never happen.
It's kind of funny. It's like we're trying to get back into a state we've never left and away from something that doesn't exist.
Exactly.
It has its comic aspect.
It really does. Why don't you awaken now and stop playing those games? Wake up. you refuse to wake up. If you would only wake up now, everything else would become redundant.
Why do we refuse to wake up?
Because you insist on playing cosmic games.
Pretending you are what you are.
You want to play hide and seek.
Yeah.
You want to hide yourself and think you have to go find it.
That's sort of stupid.
Of course. So awaken and stop being stupid.
Thank you, I will.
Robert, the self, or the ultimate created this game of hide and go seek, though, too. And it, or whatever it was, had something in mind. It must have served some purpose. Otherwise, it wouldn't be.
On the contrary, the self is self-contained, absolute reality. It never did anything. It only knows itself. What appears to be happening is a mirage. None of this is really happening.
But who sees the mirage?
Whoever wants to see it.
Then where is the essence of the mirage? What's its foundation?
What is the foundation of the water in the mirage? When you see water in the desert, what's its foundation? It doesn't have any. It never existed. But once you realize it's a mirage, you will never be fooled again. For every time you pass it, you will laugh. You will say, that doesn't exist. It's a lie. And so it is that this livingness is a lie. Nothing exists as it appears.
It must serve some purpose because there's so many eyes experiencing it.
It serves no purpose. There's no purpose for existence.
Then why are we?
You're not.
Then why is it so hard for us to understand it all?
For whom is it hard? You're making it hard by believing you do not understand. But in reality, you are already free. The best course of action to take, of course, is to be quiet. In the silence, your freedom is revealed. But as you get attached to the world, all kinds of questions arise. And there's no end to it. For instance, when you get involved in the world, you say, why is a dog a dog? Why is a cat a cat? Why is a tree a tree? Why is there a sky? Why is there grass? Why are there people? Why are there cockroaches? It never ends. It's like, what came first, the tree or the seed? There's no answer. Because it doesn't exist. It's like a dream. The dream doesn't start with creation. It just begins. And then you wake up and the dream is over. And so it is with this. When the bubble bursts and you awaken, you will be free.
All a big put on, a big hoax?
Of course.
Make-believe.
It's all make-believe. It's all nonsense.
As if.
Mesmerism.
That's deep conditioning here.
Well, don't agree with that too much. Because if you think you've got deep conditioning, then you'll think you've got something to overcome that's hard. and it will take us that much longer. Focus the attention on I. And do not think how deep the conditioning is. For in reality, there's no conditioning at all.
It seems to just be the result of thinking.
Of course.
And it seems like, I mean, this is not like a question about this. It seems like thinking, at one time, I used to believe that my thinking ran the organism. Now it seems like what the thinking does is just makes predictions all the time. Like I predict I'll scratch myself. But really, and that's fairly close. So prediction may be close. But the thinking's not really running it. It's just sort of making predictions. Is that?
Yes, that's true. Scratching yourself is karmic, is preordained.
And then thinking I'm going to scratch myself, that's relatively close, not past my nose. It might be true, but that thinking what's going to happen an hour from now, I don't know, because that's just another prediction.
Yes.
That's creative thinking.
It's creative thinking.
Yeah.
Get rid of it.
So it sounds like coming from there, peace on earth sounds next to impossible.
You've got it.
Suppose this illusion will just sort of evaporate on its own someday, some periods.
There is no illusion that has to evaporate.
Mind does.
It appears like that to you, but it doesn't exist. When you awaken, you will realize there never was an illusion. No one is asleep and no one is suffering.
Do you suppose sometime in the future the game will be called, though, and then no one has to wake up or do anything?
There is no game to be called off. The game never began. If you believe a game began, then you are looking for a time when it will be called off.
It just plain isn't there. It does not exist, period, full stop.
Right.
It's just a game because we think it's a game.
Right. It all has to do with your thinking.
Because we only exist because we think we exist.
Yes.
So do we have to give up our awareness of the world?
You don't have to give up anything. Everything will take place in its own. You merely have to follow the eye and see where it came from.
Then does awareness of the world continue without being aware?
There's no one left to be aware of the world. Yet your body will continue to function as long as it has to.
Does one observe the world?
There's no one left to observe.
Is there a conscious awareness of the world?
There's no one who's conscious to be aware. All these things are the ego that you're referring to.
So one walks around the dark, but everything is taken care of.
You do not walk around the dark, you walk around the light.
Without seeing.
You see, but not what you think you see. It's like the example I always give of a screen. there are images on the screen when you show a movie. When you become awakened, you become like the screen. All the images are taking place on the screen. There's a beginning, there's a middle, there's an end. And no one is aware of the screen because they're watching the movie. They're identifying with the images. When the movie is over, only the screen is left. In the same instance, as you awaken, the universe is a superimposition on the self. In other words, you become aware that the whole universe is an image on yourself. You therefore see what everybody else sees, except you're aware of the reality.
But you're still aware of the image also.
The image is there, but it's like a mirror in the reflection. You see the reflection, but you are the mirror. So you see the world, but it's an imposition on yourself.
Satchitabhumna?
Same to you.
When I ask myself who these thoughts occur to, I sort of end up with sort of like a stuck or stale sense of energy somewhere behind my eye. It's very personal. But, it's sort of it's like a stalemate or something goes on.
If a stalemate goes on, you can do one of two things. You can become the observer of the stalemate and watch what's happening until it clears up. Or you can totally surrender everything to God. And allow God to take care of the stalemate for you. How do you know?
My mind is keeps leading me to this state where there is nothing that is familiar. There's nothing that exists, so there's a void.
Ask your mind, to whom does this come?
Well, that part I know it's coming to the little eye that I carry around.
For if you reach the void you're talking about, the inner self, the self will pull you in, will pull the mind right into the heart, and you will be in bliss. The void is the step before realization.
I guess the ego really fights very hard. That's what it feels like to me. It begins to really put up a battle and clinging on to all the memories and dreams and aspirations as it starts to suck in toward that point.
That may happen to you. It's part of the samsaras. The hidden tendencies, the latent tendencies that have come with you from past lives, perhaps. But as you become aware intelligently that none of that exists and that there's nothing to fight and nothing to fear, and you just observe in a happy way what's going on in your mind will become weaker and weaker until it gives all of that up.
You see some people limited to the silence, just sitting, smiling, not talking. Are they in a certain state?
Who knows? There are a lot of people just sitting and smiling and don't talk, and they're idiots.
You look to see whether they're drooling or not.
Don't worry about others. Work on yourself and free yourself.
You know, in psychology, this whole idea of sudden reversals, where you'd like to see a perception like it's an old lady or it's a young lady or it's a chalice or two faces. There's a sudden reversal the brain seems to do. It seems like this enlightenment is the same sort of thing, where there's a reversal. What seems real then becomes unreal, and what's unreal becomes real. It seems like this sort of a sudden process, a sudden reversal that occurs. Is that...
To an extent, you can say that.
And if that's true, then it doesn't seem like a whole lot you can do about it. You can maybe prepare yourself, but either there's going to be the sudden reversal or there's not.
Do not try to figure it out. Do not analyze it. Whether there's a reversal or not a reversal, everything has to go. The idea of a reversal has to go. All of your ideas, all of your concepts, they've all got to go. There has to be only silence, quietness, and everything will take care of itself. If you think of all of these psychological terms, you'll become totally confused. Let go of everything.
At the same time, that concept points out what do you call it? Predetermination. Predetermination.
Mm-hmm.
Predestined.
What about it?
His comment really points out to predestiny in a way. Is that predestiny?
Yeah,
predestiny.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, there's going to be this reversal that it's not, when it's ready to happen, whether you're in Acapulco or sitting in a monastery, it's going to happen.
It's like when something gets so bad, you start laughing. Something gets so intense, it blows it away, and the illusion drops for whatever length of time.
When a person is self-realized, a tremendous energy emanates from that source. When that person still thinks they're the mind or body, that tremendous energy is damped up. What is there about this awareness that can release such fantastic energy to flow out into the environment?
When you become awakened and you're in the body, the body becomes a focal point of the universe. And all of the energy of the universe flows through that body by itself. This is what is called grace. You become like a magnet for this energy. It comes by itself.
It's like the mind is like a barrier.
The mind is a barrier.
It's the wall. Huh?
The mind has to be transcended, annihilated.
Mind, you refer to the thinking process, to thoughts.
To thoughts, yes.
No thoughts, no mind.
Exactly. The mind are simply a bundle of thoughts. Mm. Now, if you have trouble with anything I was talking about, you can always revert to the I Am meditation, which we will practice right now. So make yourself comfortable. It's better if you close your eyes. First, you become aware of your breathing. You observe yourself breathing. You sort of practice Vipassana meditation. You observe the feelings, the sensations in your body and your mind. You just watch. If you feel this tension in your body, you simply observe that. By watching the tension, it will go away. After your body is calm and relaxed, you ask the question, who is the observer? Who was observing? And the answer comes, I am. Now with your respiration, you practice I am. As you inhale, you say I. As you exhale, you say am. Of Andara Sunday from 1 until about 5 or 6. The occasion is Ramana Maharshi's Mahasamadhi, which was last month, so we're a little late. But we're always looking for a reason to celebrate, so we use that reason. Usually when you have a bhandara, the purpose is to feed the poor. But since we can't get the poor to climb up the hill here, I don't think Henry wants the poor in his house anyway.
It's up to you, Rob. You can get him up here, we'll feed him.
We'll let it go. Bring a friend if you like. Who's poor? In spirit. And those of you who did not come on Sunday, you're supposed to bring up your favorite dish, meatless. Something you'd like to share with us. Like a cheesecake.
Like butter cheesecake.
From the Cheesecake Factory. Or whatever. Anything else you want to add to that, Mary?
Yes. Since I know a lot of people have helped to put these, print these transcripts up, and we figured Sunday it would be kind of nice because there'd be a lot of people here. So if I could get, I'm sorry to say, 5 more people to get 10 copies made of this particular one. And we will give it to the new people that will be coming.
Does anyone have a copy of the transcript of Robert talking about his earlier life? I always miss that.
I don't know if we've made that up yet or not, haven't we?
What date is it? Do you know the date?
No, it's probably Benjamin. I
don't know. Quite a little way back. I think I have a...
That was when Ed was doing it.
Yeah. When Ed was doing it.
He's a fan of them. But
it may have been.
If somebody has one, if you bring it, I'll copy.
It is.
I brought 5 lessons.